29. Pip unlocked the front door and Barney bounded down the hall to escort her to the living room.
Hello, Pickle, her dad said as she popped her head in. We only just beat you back. I'm about to sort out some dinner for Mom and me. Josh ate at Sam's house. Did you eat at Kara's?
Yeah, she said. They'd eaten, but they hadn't talked much. Kara had been quiet all week at school. Pip understood. She didn't really know what to say either. Sorry, or I promise I'll fix this. After Max left on Sunday, Kara and Naomi had asked her who she thought the killer was. She didn't tell them anything, just warned Naomi to stay away from Max. She couldn't risk sharing Andy's secrets with them, in case that came hand in hand with threats from the killer. How was parents' night? Pip asked. Pretty good, her mom said, patting Josh's head. Getting better in science and math, aren't you, Josh? Josh nodded, assembling Lego bricks on the coffee table.
Although Miss Speller did say you have a proclivity for being the class clown, her dad threw a mock serious face in Josh's direction.
I wonder where he gets that from, Pip said, throwing the same face right back at him. He chuckled. The sass. Okay, I'm going to get a few hours' work done before bed. She stepped back into the hallway and toward the stairs. Oh, sweetie, her mom sighed. You work too hard. There's no such thing, Pip said, waving from the stairs. On the landing, she stopped just outside her bedroom. The door was open slightly, which jarred with Pip's memory of this morning. Josh, sprinting down the upstairs hall, squirting two bottles of their dad's aftershave, yelling, "Chemical attack!" Pip had made sure to close her door behind her so her room wouldn't forever smell like poor Ohm. Or maybe that had been yesterday morning. She hadn't been sleeping well, and the days were sticking to each other.
Has someone been in my room? She called downstairs.
No, we just got in, her mom replied.
Pip went inside and dumped her backpack on the bed. She walked over to her desk and knew with only half a glance that something wasn't right. Her laptop was open, the screen tilted back. Pip always, always closed the lid when she left it for the day. She hit the power button, and as it whirred back to life, she noticed that the neat stack of printouts beside her computer had been fanned out. One had been picked out and placed on top of the pile. It was the photograph. The evidence of Sal's alibi, and it wasn't where she'd left it. Her laptop sang two welcome notes and loaded the home screen. It was just as she'd left it, the Word document with her capstone project in the taskbar beside a minimized Chrome tab. She clicked into her log, which opened on the page below her diagram. Pip gasped. Below her final words, someone had typed, "You need to stop this, Pippa." Over and over again, hundreds of times, enough to fill four full pages. Pip's heart drummed beneath her skin. She drew her hands away from the keyboard. The killer had been here, in her room, touching her things, looking through her research. Inside her home. She pushed away from the desk and bounded downstairs.
Mom, she said, trying to speak normally over the terror in her voice. Did anyone come over to the house today?
I don't know. I've been at work all day and went straight to Josh's parents' night.
Why?
Oh, nothing, Pip said, improvising. I ordered a book and thought it would turn up. And there was a story going around school today. A couple of people's houses have been broken into. They think they're using people's spare keys to get in. Maybe we shouldn't keep ours out until they're caught.
Oh, really? Her mom said, looking up at her.
Yeah, I guess we shouldn't then.
I'll get it, Pip said, trying not to skid as she hurried for the front door.
She pulled it open and a blast of night air cooled her burning face. She bent down and peeled back the outside doormat.
The key was sitting not in, but just next to its original imprint in the dirt. Pip grabbed it, the icy metal stinging her fingers. She lay under her duvet, arrow straight. There was a scraping sound somewhere in the house. Was someone trying to get inside? Or was it just the tree that scuffed against her parents' window? A thud from the front. Pip jumped. A neighbor's car door, or someone trying to break in? She got out of bed for the 16th time and went to the window. Was someone out there watching her? She waited for a sign of movement, for a ripple of darkness to shift and become a person. Pip let the curtain fall and got back into bed. She shivered, watching the clock turn to 3 o'clock and on. The wind howled and rattled her window, and Pip's heart jumped to her throat. She threw the duvet off and tiptoed across the landing to Josh's room. He was sound asleep, his face lit up by his nightlight. Pip crept over to the foot of his bed and climbed under the covers beside him. She lay there, listening to his deep breaths, letting his warmth thaw her. Her eyes crossed as she stared ahead, transfixed by the soft blue light. Josh would be safe if she was here to watch him.